morning.
Presbyterian pastor,
a Catholic priest,
and a rabbi opened into a bar.
No, I'm not going to tell that.
I just wanted to make a comment.
I'm nervous. You know, I don't preach very often, and when I do, I usually, you know, end up talking about something that I've like been thinking about for a while. It's just kind of on the front burner, and so I have something to say. And this sermon was really hard because I didn't have that. I really didn't have, like I told our small group, when was it, last week? I feel like I just don't have anything to say. So, let's pray. No. So I was sitting around with my son, Colin, and Colin said to me, I was telling him my issue. I'm not usually lost for words, but I'm just like, just don't know what I want to preach about. And Colin said, well, you know, that's what the lectionary is for. You know that sometimes pastors don't know what to preach on, so somebody in their wisdom has selected texts for them to think about. Well, never really thought about that. So I went and started reading the text for the lectionary for the fifth week of Easter, the sixth week of Easter. And I came across Isaiah 45, which we read in the Old Testament reading. And also read a number of the passages in Acts. I chose Acts 8 today. I could have taken another one. And Isaiah 45 is basically about God's worldwide plan to save Israel and the world along with it. You're catching that reading. And in Acts, we have a whole story, narrative, about how Jesus is working out this plan by the Holy Spirit through his church. He kind of puts these two texts together in the lecture. So I started meditating on these passages, and that's where this sermon came from. Pretty appropriate. I mean, we're a particularized church, right? And we've had a lot of things that have concerned us to be able to get to that point. And I've been asking the question in my own mind, what now? And so I want to think and meditate this morning upon our mission, our outreach, us being Christians in our community and with one another, and how that might unfold for us. I titled the sermon, Our Outreach Director. And what you'll see in Acts pretty clearly is Jesus is directing everything. And he does this through the Holy Spirit, who mediates his presence to us. He mediates the presence of Christ to us and gives us a grasp of what we're about, what his plan is about, and what we're to be about. We at Hope are part of God's worldwide plan. It's talked about in Isaiah, and it's talked about in Acts. Jesus is our Lord, who is directing everything. It's pretty important to recognize out of the chute that God, the God of the universe, that Isaiah said created all things, put everything into motion, actually his heart is disposed toward saving the world, saving us and through us, extending that salvation to the world. That's his disposition, that's his heart, more than anything else. He has a plan to save, and we participate in the life of God when we do that. The Holy Spirit is present among us. He mediates the presence of Jesus. Jesus' presence, his life, his ministry, the Holy Spirit does that. Sometimes it's hard for us to grasp maybe how the Spirit is doing. I think we need to ask that question often as we pray and think about being Hope Church in Crozet. It's not necessarily a plan that we think of. Maybe it's learning to hear the Spirit and what he intends to do with us as a church. So the questions I have out of meditating on this text are, how is Jesus doing this, working out his plan in our corner of the world at this time? And how is the Holy Spirit working with us to further Christ's worldwide plan? And I want to bring these questions to the book of Acts. You know, in Acts 1:8, what does it say? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So we're going to look this morning at how Christ through the Spirit actually is doing that in the first century church, filling out Acts 1:8. It's not just that he tells the church to do that. He's actually directing and guiding the church as it spreads. The story of the birth and the growth of the church in the book of Acts is wide-ranging and surprising. I've had a chance to read many of the things that happened in Acts this week, and it's really amazing how Jesus goes about through the Spirit working his plan out. You have the same Jesus, the same message about Jesus, and you have the same ultimate goal in every incident in Acts. But every chapter in Acts is wildly different when it comes to how God is working out this plan of salvation through the church in the place where they were. There are countless situations in Acts and ways the Holy Spirit works. One of the things that, basically, the church, the witness is going to religious people and to pagans. It's going to wealthy people and poor people. It's going to powerful people and ordinary people. The in people and the out people. In Acts, you see that the way the Holy Spirit works is just going across all of those places. He's presenting himself to indifferent people, people who just don't care. Know anyone like that? It's not into that in faith. Unaware people of what God might do. Dismissive people in Acts. Hostile people. Think about Paul. What happened to him? He hated the church, was brutally persecuting it. Conflicted people that didn't know what to think. Think of Felix and some of the other powerful, government people that Paul witnessed to, and they just didn't know what to do with the information. They were conflicted. I want to believe, but I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And then there are people of other faiths in Acts. But we're looking at Acts 8 this morning. And there's two incidents that I want to draw. One is Acts 4:8-6. Where Philip, he's one of the seven deacons that was established in Acts 6. He proclaimed, he went to the people of Samaria, and he started proclaiming the good news of Jesus, verse 4. Many believed, and as a result, there was great joy in that city, verse 8. And this is just what we do as Christians as a matter of course. You don't see the Spirit mentioned directly in that text. We assume that the Spirit was working. But wherever we are as Christians, called to be witnesses of Jesus, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we just live that out. It's just as a matter of course we want to share faith with other people. The second incident is a lot different than that. Philip is led by the Holy Spirit to a particular divine appointment with a particular person, a powerful official of the court of the Queen of Ethiopia. Happens in the last part of this text. Very different circumstance. He proclaimed the good news of Jesus, did the same thing. And as a result, the man believed, was baptized, and it says, comments, and he was filled with joy. So you have the same thing, parallel things happening in the text. Good news preached, people believe, and there's joy in the city. The man, Philip gives him the good news, he believes, and he's filled with joy. Same message, same messenger, same result. But very, very different circumstances. In the first incident, there's this response. The people are kind of, the ordinary people are kind of drawn to the message of Philip and also his signs that he was performing. People's needs were being met. They were being healed. Philip was ministering to a mass crowd. And it's just the usual practice of evangelizing. In the second incident, it's very different. Instead of words and signs, for instance, it's biblical reasoning. He's reasoning with the official, the Ethiopian official. They're doing biblical reasoning together over a messianic text in Isaiah. And he's a powerful person. It's not a mass, it's an individual, very powerful person. I think it's said that he was the head accountant for the queen, the head treasurer for the queen, pretty powerful guy. And the biggest thing is, this is like divine appointment. I mean, an angel came to Philip and told him to go south, we'll get to that. And the Spirit prompted him to go up to the, specifically to go up to the chariot. So Christ works out his plan in unexpected ways with a wide array of people and doesn't seem to be limited by any sort of life situation. The enthroned Jesus directs all of this, and his presence is mediated by the Holy Spirit. Think about it. In the first incident, how did that happen? What led up to that? If you go back a couple chapters in Acts, what happened? The only reason that Philip is in the position he is, preaching to people, is because of a conflict that happened in the church in Acts 6. I mean, the church was arguing, they were having a fight over Jewish widows were being treated well, and Hellenist Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, their widows were not being treated so well. So they basically decided, the apostles decided to appoint 7 deacons, and Philip was one of them. So the only reason he has the position he has is because of this conflict in the church. The only reason he's in Samaria is why? The death of Stephen and the brutal persecution of the church in Jerusalem scattered everybody to other parts of the world, and he ended up in Samaria, and he started preaching. Now, if we wanted to think about a plan for outreach, we wouldn't do either one of those things. We wouldn't even think about that kind of stuff. That somehow, if we did this and elected a deacon here, how do you plan for those things? You don't, and that's the point. God is working all the time to outwork his plan. Sometimes we have no idea how he's doing that or how he will do it. Just wherever he leads, wherever we end up, as a matter of course, we share our faith and we reach out to people and try to care for their needs. That's what we do because we're participating in the life of Christ, and that's what he does. So it's pretty interesting about how Acts works in that way. Think about the circumstances leading to Philip's divine appointment with the Ethiopian official. So, an angel, excuse me, I'm going to look at my clock here. I'm determined to finish early. Okay, so, Philip was told by an angel to go south. Now, I've never actually been told to go anywhere by an angel. Well, my wife told me. But please tell her I said that. So, maybe some of you have had that happen. I have not had that happen. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It just hasn't happened with me. But I find myself in places, you know, by circumstances, and I don't really understand how I ended up where I'm at. And this is Philip's, he's told to go south. Notice he's not told where to go. He has no destination except south. You know, it's like, I'm headed to Florida. And on the way, there's these divine coincidences that start to happen. And I often think that we shouldn't run over the top of coincidences that seem divinely arranged for us. They happen. And the divine circumstances he has, he's going down the road, and here's this chariot on the side of the road. I don't know if he had a flat or what, but the Ethiopian eunuch, who was a powerful official in Ethiopia, and he had gone up to Jerusalem because he's a Jewish proselyte, and he's on his way back. He's sitting on the side of the road. He just happens to be reading Isaiah, and not just Isaiah. He's reading a messianic text in Isaiah, and the Spirit then directly prompts Philip to go up to this man and enjoin conversation with him. And he does, and he ends up, asking him what he's reading. He explains the text and what it really means, lays out the gospel for him. And they start riding along in the chariot, and the guy pulls up and says, "Hey, there's water over there. What's keeping me from being baptized?" And so he was baptized. And then it says that after that, they never saw each other again. Philip was taken away. Who knows what happened? We do know that actually Ethiopia, by the way, became the first country who declared Christianity as their national religion. So something happened down in Ethiopia over the centuries, over the decades. And could it have been related to this man? Probably. Something happened, but Philip wouldn't know. He just was there. It was a divine coincidence. Met him, shared the gospel. He became a Christian. And it all happened from there. So, what lessons can we draw from this as we think about our question about what does God want us to do with us as a church in this place we are in Crozet, and with each of us as individuals as we are Christians, not only enjoying the blessings of Christ, but also, like Beth said this morning, not only experiencing Jesus, but spreading his word. Well, the first thing I want to say is that we are a church planted in Crozet for a reason. We may not always know specifically what that's all about, but we are here as a church planted in Crozet to be involved in the working out of Jesus' plan to save the world. Pretty high calling that we have. And that's why we're here. We're here to care for each other, but we're here to work out salvation toward the salvation of the world. That's what God wants. And I don't know that sometimes we have clear plans and clear directions for how we want to do that. Sometimes we don't. But in this first incident with Philip, wherever we're at, right here in Crozet, whatever our situation is, as a matter of course, we share our faith with other people. Even if we don't have a direct word or prompting or something like that, it's just what we do. We need to be about that. So what are the general ways that Christ is leading us by the Spirit to do this in our life as a church here, as a particular church? I think that's a question that we just answer in the next few months. I'm sure our session will be thinking about this, our elders will be thinking about it, each one of us can be thinking about it. You know, how do we're faithful to pray, worship, evangelize, participate in the work of the Holy Spirit in this time and in this place, caring for the needs of other people, being aware of them, and just reaching out, because that's what we do as Christians. But what about also those divine appointments? Does the Holy Spirit sometimes direct us specifically in our own hearts as we live out our lives to particular situations and people that we pray for or are aware of? that we have the courage to talk to, and we trust the Holy Spirit to give us words and actions to move on. I think so. So I'll leave you, I'm kind of trying to wind this down in terms of, tell you a story about Cindy and a guy named Max. So this was back a month or so ago. Cindy was needing to go to California and took her to the airport, dropped her off. I get a call. I usually wait there, so I did. Oh, things are on time. I had the coffee shop called for. And I get a call about an hour and a half later, flight's delayed, and here's her choices. She can go ahead and fly to Charlotte, miss her flight there, and fly out the next day maybe because she will have to be on a wait list because they didn't have any open flights even out of Charlotte. I didn't think either of these options was very good. So I asked the lady, well, what about book us up? Can you book us out of D.C.? So we got a flight out of D.C. for the next day. And we had to drive up there. I went to pick her up at the airport, drove straight to D.C. You know what hotels cost in D.C., right? Had to get a hotel. Parking alone was $40. And got up the next morning. Cindy got on her plane. Cindy's standing in the TSA line, she told me later. And she just happened, for some reason, she just happened to start thinking about, and I think it's the Spirit working in her, she started thinking about each of the people that she saw in line, instead of just seeing them as a mass of people. You know, what about this person and that person, just thinking about them. And started kind of asking what the Lord might be doing with this situation. She gets on the plane. Teenagers sitting next to her, and they were the only ones in the row. Young black man, you know, dreads, and he went immediately to sleep. And the service in the plane went by, and so Cindy got extra stuff for him because he was sleeping. And so when he woke up, she asked him if he wants the cookies, sure. And they started talking, where are you from? And he was basically from Chicago. He was in California to visit his father. His mom and dad were never married. And he'd gone out to try to connect with his dad. And his dad has another family and other kids now, other sons. And he thought, he was just hoping that there would be some kind of family time. And he's only a junior in high school. And he said, it just hit me all over again that I was an accident. I'm an accident. I'm angry. His father really didn't have much to offer him, and he left with that hope and deep disappointments. And Cindy's sitting there. And says back to him, there's no way you're an accident. Started talking to him about God basically giving him existence and giving him a place of purpose in life. And by the end, they were both teary, hugged, Cindy said later. And she hugged him when he got off the plane and left. And she said, I wondered what people thought about this old white lady, and crying and things like that in the middle of everything. She told me not to tell too much about the stories. Hopefully I haven't. But Cindy's response, as we talked about it, she believes that the failure of the flight, having to drive to D.C., getting a particular flight, being in a particular line, being set next to a kid that was in pain and needed the gospel, the good news, was all planned. It was a divine appointment that the Holy Spirit marked out for her. I think those things happen to us. if we're aware, if we see Karen Crozet or wherever we go, there's a general thing that we do to be Christians and share our faith. But there are times where the Spirit marks out something you really need to pay attention to. And I ask us as a church to be aware of those things, to see people, to be aware. Don't charge in, but you know when the Spirit is moving you to respond or do something. I believe that's a big way of how we will grow and how we will minister to our community. So let's believe. Let's believe that Jesus is working on his plan in the world, and he has included us. He has asked us to participate in it. And let's believe that the Holy Spirit is working in each one of us, and us as a congregation, as we think about how to help and participate in God's plan to save the world here in Christ.